Well, it's time now for Changing Australia. It's a potentially deadly disease which few people know about. Strongyloid eye asis is caused by a parasitic worm and infects millions of people worldwide, including some in remote Indigenous communities here in Australia. Dr. Wendy Page lost a cherished friend and colleague to the infection. Since then, she's worked tirelessly on eradication efforts, helping to drastically reduce cases in East Arnhem Land. She's the former medical director at the Miwatch Health Aboriginal Corporation in Nhulunbuy and a founding member of the Strongyloid Ease Australia, and is my guest today on Changing Australia. Dr. Wendy Page, welcome to you.
Thank you, Sally.
Did you know much about this disease when you moved into a remote Indigenous community in the early 90s?
No, I wasn't aware. Well, I hadn't managed any cases that I was ever aware of. And in 1993, I just thought it was just a worm.
Tell me about this illness. How does it unfold?
She's a silent killer. How does it unfold? You can pick it up from areas of poor sanitation. The teenage worm can penetrate the skin, go through the body, and end up in the intestine and becomes an adult. It's only a female. She doesn't need a male, so it's a parthenogenic pathway. She lays eggs within the gut, but instead of coming out as eggs like other worms, they actually become baby worms, and then some will come out as baby worms and then have a cycle outside, a limited cycle outside. But what makes her very different is those baby worms can become teenage worms. Those teenage worms can burrow back through the gut lining, taking bacteria from the bowel to other parts of the body. It's a random migration. And she sets up a life cycle, which can last for decades. And decades later, its people can become aware that they're not well, and often it's just not diagnosed. The XPOWs were the ones in the 1980s where it was recognised 40 years later, and that's when the blood test was developed to identify Strongyloid Ease, because it was hard picking it up in the fecal specimens, but the serology test has made a huge difference.
So that's incredible, with those POWs who were experiencing those conditions during World War II, so it wasn't becoming properly apparent until the 1980s.
Correct.
And how devastating can this be for the body, Wendy, if it really takes off?
Well, the people at greatest risk, and the ones that, particularly for medical practitioners, they need to be aware of, is if they're prescribing any immunosuppressants. So if they're giving corticosteroids, we know that that's a signal to the queen of the nematodes that her home in the human is not as strong as it was, and we think that's a reason why she can then go into the auto-infective life cycle can become out of control. And that's when that's when they become at risk. She's just probably looking to find another home, and she can through sputum, through releasing more worms through her body. So the person becomes infectious as well. And it's a silent killer. So people die from septicemia, meningitis. Usually it's not identified unless someone looks under the microscope.
Can you tell me what happened with your friend and colleague, Wendy?
So I want to acknowledge the Yolngu people of Northeast Arnhem Land, because I've been incredibly privileged to have lived and worked and learnt from them. So as an Aboriginal health worker, Natati Marika, I can say her name now, was a mentor. She was the cultural guide, what was appropriate, not appropriate. So it was a walking together or working together. She became unwell and did have a cancer, was sent to Adelaide, but she didn't die. She didn't come home to die, which is really important if you can do that. Mm. She died in Adelaide, and on the report, in handwritten, it used to be typed out. It was all typed out back in those days, in 1999, and it came back handwritten disseminated strongyloidiasis because they weren't aware of that. So her sister was upset as well. She said, normally, you know, they know about cancer, and if people can come home and pass away at home, that's fantastic. So it was a huge, huge loss. Someone, she was my age. She was 44 in 1999. The following year, I had the opportunity to sit with her sister and Dr. Raymacha Marika, 2007 Australian of the Year, Northern Territory Australian of the Year, and tell the story, because in 2000 we were able to introduce ivermectin, which was then a more effective drug. And at the end of the conversation, what we're doing at MeWatch, we were screening, we were taking it, you know, taking it very seriously and finding lots of cases. And her words to me were, let not her death be in vain. Mm. So there's times when I've thought it would be easier to, you know, move on, do something else. Mm. I've had a commitment to her, and I have a commitment to take this further forward. Mm. I'm not alone in this. We have others. I was taught by Rick Spear, who very sadly has passed, who is a guru. We stand on the shoulders of giants. Our Strongyloides Australia group is there to raise awareness. This is something we can do something about. This is about closing the gap. This is a gap we can close. This is something in Australia we need to prioritise. Mm. We've got closing the gap on strongyloidiasis by 2030. Would be a fantastic goal. It's something we can achieve. MeWatch have a program. We don't see it as a worm. We see it as a preventable chronic infectious disease. So we can do something about it. MeWatch have developed a system for identifying and treating the adults. Mm. So there's something we can do. The World Health Organization has included it now within the neglected tropical diseases, previously considered the most neglected of neglected tropical diseases. They have a goal for, they have a World Health Organization neglected tropical disease roadmap for 2030. Now, those 2 years align. That's not very far away. Mm. Australia can be showing a lead in this, and they just need to get behind it. We see that if it were made notifiable, with the system, we now have the Australian Centre for Disease Control and Prevention. It wouldn't be hard. It fits the criteria. It wouldn't be hard with technology now to have laboratory notification to identify where it is. If you've got a cluster, if you've got a hotspot, you go in with an approach. And my theory is that we'll identify the most neglected communities that actually can have appropriate intervention. The One Health includes treating the humans, are animals infected? We need to have good animal health. And the other side is environmental health. Environmental health means access to clean water and sanitation. That's something we take for granted in high-income countries. Mm-hmm. Australia's a high-income country. That needs to be accessible for everyone. Access to clean water and sanitation.
Dr. Wendy Page, thank you very much for being my guest this morning on Changing Australia.
Thank you.
Dr. Wendy Page is the former medical director of the MeWatch Health Aboriginal Corporation up in Arnhem Land in Nhulunbuy, and a founding member of Strongyloides Australia. And Dr. Page was also the 2021 Northern Territory Australian of the Year.